you please come to order, please? I wish to address all those that are out on the network at the moment, and also to the people that are here in the audience today. I would like to recognize Senator Hensley, who is on the committee, Senator Ewing, Senator Josephson, and Senator Abood being chair. Senator Katula is with us. Senator Duncan will also be here very shortly. But what I wish to say is this, that there is a lot of confusion about the longevity bonus. With the two bills in front of us, with the proposals in the newspapers that the governor has projected, of which we do not have a bill in front of us at this time for discussion, and I have received many, many phone calls as to what is going on. It's rather understandable because it is rather a complex situation. I note that Senator Pakes is with us, and she's just joined us. Also, I would like to say that I will get to around again to those people who did not have the opportunity to testify on Wednesday of last week. And if there's time, I would like to have, if they have anything else to say, to wait until those people who have not testified has the opportunity. Now, I'm going to depart a little bit from the normal protocol this afternoon. I would like to, in order to explain the whole situation, to take away a lot of the fear that a lot of the older people have that are out on the audience today as to, are they going to take my longevity bonus away from me and all that, and are they going to put it on a needs basis and all that. I want to put all of that down now, and I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want you all to think about it. Let's just think about what's going to happen, will be happening here on this second meeting this afternoon. And the way I'm going to approach it is, I'd like to have you know exactly what it is today. There's a lot of you don't even know what it is today. So as I say, I'm going to depart from the normal routine of having the senators go over their bills first. I'm going to ask Mr. John Andrews to come up to the mic, if you will, and explain as briefly but as clearly as you can what the situation is today. What is the, who gets the bonus? How is it done? And a few other statistics, perhaps who is on it and so on. This will give you the way it is today. For those out in the on the telecommunications network, he'll be explaining to you what the longevity bonus is today. If you will kindly speak into the microphone and flip your button up when you're started and down when you're finished. Mr. Andrews, your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Andrews, Deputy Commissioner in the Department of Administration.
Can you hear him well out there along the network? Do you copy out there? Somebody come in and tell me yes or no.
We heard only his first few words.
All right, thank you. Mr. Andrews, if you'll pull that microphone in to you a little bit more, please. Speak into it. Thank you.
Counting is the customary thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Very clear. Thank you.
Okay, I'll repeat. My name is John Andrews. I'm Deputy Commissioner in the Department of Administration. The current longevity bonus program serves the majority of the population that is over 65 and has been here for 1 year. There are a few exceptions to that, and they are people who are incarcerated in prisons, people who are in nursing homes, and mental hospitals. Right. You qualify for receipt of the monthly bonus check by filling out an application. You reapply monthly by returning the stub of the check you received that indicates you really are still in the state of Alaska. Checks are not mailed to other than Alaskan addresses, nor are they forwardable by the post office. The program currently serves about 15,500 people, that is those who qualify, and currently issues an average of a little under 15,000 checks per month, the difference being the number of people who are outside of the state during the month and who would not thereby get a check. You may be outside of the state for up to 90 days without re-qualifying and having to wait a year to begin to receive the monthly checks again. If you return to the state within 90 days, you need only reapply to begin receiving the monthly check. Are there any questions about procedural rules? Does that cover the current procedure?
I believe that should cover it. I believe that's a very straightforward analysis of the way the situation is today. Now I'd like to go to Senator Katula, who will explain Senate Bill number 57. Seven?
Six.
I'm sorry, now, who broke in?
Go ahead, Anchorage.
We've lost the Juno transmission.
Can you hear it now?
Yes, it sounds fine, thank you.
All right, I'm going to, is your mic off down there, John?
It's off.
No, backwards. It's off now?
It's off now.
Okay, now Senator Katula will tell you about and explain Senate Bill number 56, which is one proposal that we have in front of us. Senator Katula, please.
Mr. Chairman, committee, thank you for this opportunity. I think probably last time there was some confusion because 56, 57, and the pre-Zobel legislation all came into play, and interrelated as it was, it did get somewhat tangled. Senate Bill 56 puts into place the optional annuity plan that was voted for by the people of Alaska in November of 86. The vote was 99,000 for and 65,000 against in round numbers. A person who is 65 by January 1st, 1988, who has lived in Alaska 1 year, including those receiving the longevity bonus now, will receive a $250 per month longevity bonus upon application. A person under 65 on January 1st, 1988, can participate in an optional annuity program by depositing all or part of the permanent fund dividend in an account held by the state. Upon reaching age 65, a person would receive a monthly payment in an amount determined by how much was in their account. The annuity payments would be supplemented with a declining longevity bonus. In essence, what would be happening under Senate Bill 56 scheme is that a person is putting their dividend money into a retirement account. This retirement account will be within the permanent fund. This will give people a higher return on their money than if people invested individually because of all the money in the permanent fund. The money in the retirement account and the interest from it will be used to offset a declining longevity bonus. From initial estimates, Senate Bill 56 will cost much less than the existing longevity bonus program, but will accomplish the same goal. If people put in all their permanent fund dividends, they will receive at least $250 a month, either as an annuity or as an annuity longevity bonus combination when they hit age 65. There were some questions that were asked at last week's teleconference that I would like to respond to. The first question was, what happens to the person who is now receiving the longevity bonus? The answer is that nothing will change. That person will get his or her longevity payment and his or her permanent fund dividend. They'll get both of them. The second question was, why do we have to change the program at all? Why can't we just leave it alone? And this was a condition and a concern of the budgeteers the immediate preceding year and previous administration's governor. The current longevity bonus program will cost. It's an answer to my question of why we do have to change the program at all. Why can't we just leave it alone? The current longevity bonus program will cost approximately $51 million this year and will continue to increase each year so that within 10 years, it's estimated the program will cost over $75 million for that year alone. And in the year 2002, the current program would cost over $86 million for that year. The program that this legislation, Senate Bill 56, will institute will cost less than $30 million in the year 2002. That means it will not impact the budget significantly ad infinitum. I also think that this bill treats all senior Alaskans more equally than other proposals that have been before the legislature. This was another reason that I introduced this legislation. I appreciate having the opportunity to attend this teleconference, thank those members that are out there for coming to the teleconference today, and it is important to hear your thoughts and concerns. And I also want to thank Chairman Abu for taking the time and effort to thoroughly study the bills concerning longevity bonus. I think he and the committee are doing a great public service.
Thank you, Senator Katula. And now we'll hear from Senator Duncan, who will give us his explanation of Senate Bill 57.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to give a very brief explanation of 57. I actually have done this previously and wasn't aware I was going to be asked to do it again today. But please do that.
Yeah, Senator, I'm going over it. What the situation was today is today Senator Katula's bill, your bill, as a clarification of the longevity bonus to those people who are confused and don't understand it out on the teleconference. And that's the reason I'm asking you to do it again. I'm sorry, but I didn't get a chance to explain that to you before you came in. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I will attempt to run through the Senate Bill 57 very briefly then. The approach in Senate Bill 57, as I explained the other day, is not necessarily my ideas by themselves, but really are based on ideas that were presented in by former Governor Jay Hammond, who, of course, has been involved in the longevity bonus program from the creation of it up until a number of the debates and hearings that went forward in past years as we looked at the program. What I have done with Senate Bill 57 is taken some of the ideas that he put forth in a newspaper article last year and put those into legislation, and I think they make a whole lot of sense, and that's why I wanted to present that to the committee. I think the approach in Senate Bill 57 does several things. One, it assures that all current longevity bonus recipients continue to receive both their full bonus and their permanent fund dividend check. They don't have to make the decision to give up one or the other. Secondly, I think Senate Bill 57 more clearly, if that's possible, meets the primary intent of the bonus program. It meets it better than the needs-based proposal, or better perhaps even in Senate Bill 56, although I don't want to get into that point of discussion. But it meets the intent of the program better, and from the information that's been passed out, I guess by OMB today, shows that at a maximum it would cost the same as the Senate Bill 56 proposal and has the potential of costing a whole lot less than that. And finally, it does not get the state into an ever-expanding annuity program. Rather, it phases it out at a certain point. Specifically, what the bill provides is that anyone who will be 65 by the age 2001 would be eligible for a longevity bonus. If you did not meet that age requirement, you would not be eligible. And the intent of that, the rationale behind that, is to do what primarily the original program intended to do, and that was to reward territorial pioneers who contributed a certain amount of their time to Alaska and to the building of the territory and to the building of the state. So basically it does, well, let me back up. First of all, it grandfathers in everybody who's currently receiving a longevity bonus. There would be no one who is currently receiving a longevity bonus who would be forced to give up that bonus, nor be forced to give up their dividend. They would not have to make the election between the annuity and a cash payment of the permanent fund dividend. Secondly, it says if you're going to participate in the longevity bonus program, you have to reach the age 65 by the year 2001, which means you would have been 21 at statehood. At least that's the way the dates are supposed to work out. And the rationale they said behind that is that if you're 21 at statehood, you probably contributed somewhat to the development of the territory and of the state, and that seemed to be the original intent of the program. Third, it does establish an annuity bonus program for everyone else who would be 51 or who would be 65 at the age 2001. And each year between now and then, those individuals would have to make an election as to whether they wanted to receive their dividend in cash or if they wanted to contribute it to the annuity program. What is set up in the legislation is a series of annuity credits. Those credits can be obtained on a yearly basis. Each one of those credits is worth $25 a month, which translates to $300 a year. And if over the next 10 years someone elects to obtain one of those annuity credits each year, then when they reach 65, they would receive a full longevity bonus of $3,000. If for some reason they elected not to obtain an annuity credit, then their longevity bonus would be reduced accordingly. For example, someone who is age 55 this year, if for the next 10 years they said, I will take my longevity bonus and apply it, or excuse me, my permanent fund dividend and apply it towards my annuity program, they would get one credit each year for the next 10 years, therefore have a total bonus of $300 a month, or excuse me, $250 a month and $3,000 a year. If for five of those years they elected to take their dividend in cash, then for each one of those years they would lose one annuity credit. So what they would end up with when they reach 65 would be five annuity credits instead of 10. Those five annuity credits would then be worth exactly half of what the present longevity bonus is. They'd be worth $25 a month. It would actually come out to $1,500 a year. That seems to be a little bit complicated. Actually, it's not if you follow it through the way the legislation outlines it. So if you took all the shares, you would receive the full bonus. If you took none of the shares, you would receive no bonus. If you decided it was better to your best interest to take your dividend in cash. That's basically the difference between the two programs. And as you can see from the OMB cost proposal or cost estimation that they laid out, it has the potential of saving a whole lot of general fund money. The minimum, for example, in the year 2001, the minimum cost to the general fund would be zero. The maximum cost would be exactly the same as Senate Bill 56. So there's a whole lot of leeway there. And the reason for that is, of course, no one knows how many people are going to choose to participate in annuity and how many people are going to choose to participate in the first time dividends cash. I hope that basically explains the program. And
Senator, I would like to ask just one question. Does that mean that everyone would have to, that you're talking about would have to put in all of their dividends or just a percentage of those dividends to make up that share? I think that's part of the confusion.
What that means, Mr. Chairman, if I might explain, what that means is someone who is presently receiving, let me take it in two steps, someone who is presently receiving a longevity bonus would have to make no selection at all. They would continue to receive the full longevity bonus. They would continue to receive their permanent fund dividend. Someone who's age 60, however, let's say he's age 60 right now, and let's say the legislation was in place, they would have the option then of either taking the dividend in cash or applying it to their annuity account. If
but
they took their dividend...
All of the dividend... Or just a person?
All of the dividend.
Part of it.
Pardon?
Or you mean all of it? So this year, next year, this year might be $600 and some dollars. The next year might be $1,000.
But they make the election on a yearly basis. This year, for example, the individual may elect to take his dividend in cash. And if he does that, then he loses his annuity credit. Next year, they may elect to put that dividend into the annuity program. So the election is not irrevocable. It's made on a yearly basis. And so what we could end up is if this individual is 60 years old, and over the next 5 years, three of those years they may take the dividend in cash, two of those years they may apply it towards their longevity bonus. Does that make sense?
I just wanted the explanation of it. Thank you. Could you flip off your mic, please, Senator? Senator Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Senator Duncan. Then. In these calculations, it would not matter whether the annual dividend for that given year is $600 or $1,200. It would still, the effect of the election would still relate to your credit system. You wouldn't lose twice as much of your annuity if you took a $1,200 dividend in cash as you would if you took a $600 dividend in cash.
No, I think if I understand your question, you're right. It relates to the annuity credit, not to the magnitude, right? What would happen, of course, is if someone took for the next 10 years, took the annuity credit, their dividend for the next 10 years would go in towards their annuity. Now, it's quite possible that that annuity and its earnings, that the earnings off that money would not be sufficient to give them a full longevity bonus of $3,000 a year. So the difference between that, I mean, they've elected for 10 years for the annuity, right? They then are entitled to receive the full longevity bonus. The difference would be made up by general fund dollars, so they could receive their full longevity bonus.
Okay, I think I'm going a little afield here. I never should have asked the first question to start with, but I wanted to get that one particular deal out. I think I'd rather go back to the format that I had originally started. You've explained 57, Senator Tutula's explained 56. I now would like to go to Mary Halloran. Did you? How do you copy now? Do you copy? Over. Anchorage, do you read? Keep those little microphones plugged in, Anchorage. I don't know if Mary Halloran wishes to have any statement. Thank you very much, John. Your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, sir. Up to turn on.
Yeah.
I'm Mary Halloran, Director of Policy for the Governor's Office. With me is Deborah Vogt, Assistant AG in the Department of Law, who's worked on the longevity bonus for the last 4 years. 3 years. 5 years, I'm sorry. Long-standing problem, as you know, Senator. I think we're all very concerned about how this issue is handled and know that it's of immense importance to the seniors. Back in FY83, which was the last year that we had a residency-based program, the cost to the state was $27.5 million. Now that we have basically what is an open entry program, as you realize the costs are significantly higher. As Senator Kurtula stated, it's about $51 million for this year. In addition, those costs do not take into account the hold harmless cost in the Department of Health and Social Services, which this year, because of an adverse federal ruling on Medicaid, have now been raised to about $2.9 million in general funds. Last year, or rather in 1985, the legislature agreed on trying to phase out the program either by substituting this program with the annuity program or by going through stair-stepping, limiting the program in terms of age. We have some concerns with the annuity approach. It does continue full general fund cost for all seniors who are in the program by 1/1/88. It does continue some general fund costs for those seniors who enter the program after that date. It assumes, and this is our major objection to the annuity approach, that permanent fund dividends continue through the year 2002 and perhaps longer. In essence, the annuity program simply shifts the cost of the longevity bonus program from the general fund to the permanent fund. And that, in our view, is probably not a wise shift because it will reduce the legislature's and the administration's flexibility in the future to deal with how to use permanent fund earnings. As we all know, this year we're going to have to probably dip into the permanent fund earnings for the first time in order to balance the budget, and it's undoubtedly true that we'll have to do it again in the future. There are some other concerns that we have in how the program would actually work and how it would impact individual seniors. Once the permanent fund dividend is placed in the annuity account, the money is not available again to that participant until he or she reaches the age of 65, and then becomes only available through monthly payments. That is, the approach is not responsive to sudden financial emergencies that older people may encounter. Annuity experts testified in 1985 that private plans are probably better deals for most Alaskans, largely because they do allow the use of funds in emergency situations, unlike the program that's currently before you, the annuity program that's currently before you. Another concern is that because there's some indication that the number of real participants in this program might be small, it raises the issue that the administrative cost for the program will be out of proportion to the total program. The administrative costs under the annuity bill are taken from annuity payments, and it takes a certain base amount of participants in order to reduce those costs to an effective or efficient percentage of the overall program. Third, the comparative cost, as you realize, from I guess page 14 of these books, which I think most of you already have. are such that even though there is a substantial reduction under the annuity program, it is still higher than the alternative of stair stepping. Now there might be, Senator Duncan might quibble with me because we don't know what the number of participants would be if his approach is adopted there. So we're concerned about the long-term costs, we're concerned about the fact that it's permanent fund dividend dependent, and we're concerned about the fact that it places seniors who might face sudden financial emergencies in a situation where they can't draw on their own reserves. I think our bottom line concern, though, is that dependency on the permanent fund dividend, not only because that may not take into consideration the financial condition of the state within the next 5 to 10 years, much less the next 15 years, but also because it would appear to force those Alaskans who are less well off into a very, very difficult choice between receiving a permanent fund dividend today and some sort of Social Security in the future. We feel that's simply an unfair choice to lay on those people. We'd like to see a structure that instead addresses the security of those who are less able to take care of themselves rather than the security of those who are more able to take care of themselves.
Thank you, Mary. Deborah, do you have anything to add to that at the moment?
No, Senator, not at the moment. I don't, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you. I don't really want to get into the specifics of the bill because I've still got those people sitting out there on the radio that want to make their statements. So thank you very much for your position on that.
Thank you, sir.
And don't come back.
Okay.
I know Mary very well.
Let me see. All right, I do have two people that do have time constraints. Mr. Let's see. In Seward, Seward, do you copy? Over.
Yes, we're here, Senator.
All right. Mr. Bissner, please. You have a time constraint. Would you care to say a few words?
Thank you, Senator. I'm Dick Bissner, senior citizen and chairman of the Pioneers of Alaska Legislative Committee. The views I express here are my own.
Hold it. Hold it a minute. Have you got a television or radio playing there?
No, we haven't. Nothing is quiet here.
Okay, fine. We're just picking up a frequency, but go ahead. The answer to that question is yes. If anyone out on the network wishes to write a letter to the State Affairs Committee here in Juneau, it'll be read into the record.
Thank you, Senator. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to express my views. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Bissner. I now have another time constraint in Anchorage. Mr. Blodgett, are you there?
I am.
Anchorage, come in, please.
Yes, I am there.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Boone, members of the State Affairs Committee.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
I'm very pleased that the committee is there in force together with the President of the Senate and Senator Headway from the Northwest Senate District Hill. People that have been recipients of welfare assistance.
Thank you, Mr. Blodgett, for your testimony. While I'm there, is there anyone else that wishes to speak?
Yes, we have another person approaching the mic.
By the way, while they're approaching the mic, for those that are listening, the address to send letters to is Senate State Affairs Committee, P.O. Box V. V is in Victor. V is in Victor. Juno 99811. Juno 99811. Go ahead, Anchorage.
Senator Abood and the other senators present. President, I want to thank you very much for listening to us. My name is Marilyn Scott. I am a 26-year resident of the Anchorage area. I do support the concept of the longevity bonus for persons 65 and over. It is a direct benefit to my husband and myself, so obviously I'm very positively interested. I am looking forward to having additional information about the cost of the annuity to the state. I can understand that people will be putting their own money in, so to speak, assuming that the dividend remains in force. However, I am concerned about what might happen if the dividend should be suspended for any period of time. I'm also interested in what would become of a person's dividend money if he or she left the state before becoming 65. I don't see any reference to that in the bill itself, and that would probably affect my opinion. As Senator Abood, I'm very glad to know that we can send letters to you, and I will be doing so because I wrote a rather long letter about the longevity bonus and the permanent fund and the volunteer work that is done by senior citizens to the governor, and I received a response which indicated to me that perhaps it had not been read very fully, at least. And so I will send a copy of that to you. I believe that that concludes my presentation at this time.
Thank you very much. Please send your letter in. We'd be glad to get it. Is there anyone else there who wishes to testify?
Could you please respond to my question now about what would become of the annuity contribution to the person left the state?
I don't believe that we have taken up the...
Paula Scott.
Paula, could you answer that question?
I'd like to keep...
Go ahead down there. Stand by one.
My name is Paula Scott. I represent Advisory Council. On page 9 of Chapter 99, SLA 85, it refers to that an individual need not be a resident of the state to be eligible to receive an annuity payment from an individual's account. So if you move from the state before you were 65, after you reach 65, you would receive a check from your annuity account.
Just that portion.
Right, just that portion from your own annuity account.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, she's not here, but it does.
Where'd she go? You say what?
She's seated. Does that answer your question, ma'am?
This is Marilyn Scott again. Yes, that answers my question. We had changed chairs while we were speaking.
Okay. Is there someone else?
Yes, Mr. Abood, Senator Abood. I'm Carrie Grell, members of the committee. I'm very pleased to see this. I will have been in the state of Alaska 30 years when I reached age 65. And I'm kind of heartbroken to see that it was going to be cut off with no extension thereof. I would support more Senate Bill 57. There's still some things I don't quite understand about it, but it bases itself on
Petula.
I can assure you that 56 is not a need-based program. Mm-hmm. It's an annuity program, and it's not a need-based program. Under the program of 56, if you paid in for 3 years, starting at age 62, you'd be eligible for your $250 a month at age 65.
How would it work, Senator, with 57?
Just a moment, please.
The author of 57 is here also, so I'll let him speak. Senator Duncan.
Senator
But again,
Duncan.
Be assured this is not a needs-based program. I, too, sat on the committee with Governor Hammond that created the original program, and I'm absolutely opposed to stair-stepping or a needs-based program.
Thank you.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a good question. In fact, as I was thinking back, I don't think I adequately explained that as I was explaining the bill. It would be my intent, and if the bill doesn't say this, we would need to work it so that it would. It would be my intent that if someone was 62 now and they only had 3 years to make the election of either taking a permanent fund dividend in cash or putting it into an annuity, that if they elected for 3 years, all three of those years, to put that into an annuity, then they would receive their full longevity bonus at age 65. They would receive the full $250 a month. Part of that bonus would be paid out of their annuity earnings, and the rest of it would be paid out of the general fund. If they were 62 and they elected to not use the annuity, then they would lose a credit each year they elected not to. Therefore, their longevity bonus would be reduced by the number of years they didn't elect to put it into the annuity. But realizing you don't have 10 years to take the option and therefore earn 10 annuity credits, you should not be penalized for that. Therefore, you would receive a full bonus each year that you were eligible and you made the election to go to the annuity program. Does that
Thank you. I think that's workable.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else there in Anchorage right now?
Yes, we have three or four other people here.
Well, I'd rather go on. We've got to still go around the circuit. I'll come back to Anchorage.
Thank you.
The Delta Junction, are you online?
Yes, we are.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Machado, Robert H. Machado. I'm a member of the Delta Seniors and represent them at this present time. I'm on the board of directors for the organization. I've talked to 9 seniors and 16 younger people, people who are in everywhere from 55 to 55 years of age, and their opinions seem to all favor the younger people, especially who wonder if they'll even live to 65 to start collecting. But they all seem to favor some other means. The older ones who are presently on the longevity and have qualified for it for over 30 years seem to favor the stair step, and the rest go for the 57. This is about all I really had, except for one thing. In the present day, you're always talking about saving money. The stair step would save an awful lot more money for the state if they went back to that and discussed it or came up with a bill for it, because it would phase itself out. In figuring things, we came up with the year 2007. Anyone on the longevity program at the present moment could plan on possibly 35 years of living longer. That would bring them up to the age of 100 by the year of 2007. Not too many people reach that age. So most of the, by about the year 2000 at the very latest, you would start amortizing away and getting back the money that was being put into the fund. It could be put into the reserve fund or the general fund, whichever one you wanted. This is what we had to offer up here. Delta Junction waiting.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify there in Delta Junction?
No, I'm the only one. They sort of picked on me because my voice is louder.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for being there. We appreciate you. Yeah, appreciate. Dillingham, are you on? Thank you, Dillingham. Ketchikan. You copy Ketchikan?
Yes, we do, Senator. We have Mr. Paul Wingren here to testify.
Go ahead, Paul. Thank you very much, sir, for your testimony. I'm sorry you're the only one out of 15,000, but we're sure glad you're there. Thanks again. Haynes, is there anyone there in Haynes?
Yes, we have Leo Land.
Hello, Leo. Glad to hear you again.
Sure, we're happy to see everybody that's your senators and so forth that's there today. I'm not going to, on the Senate Bill 57 and 56. One or both are a combination, and there will be changes. I think you'll have to do it that way. But I am here to kind of put a slap at my good friend, the governor, and his staff for recommending a $50 cut. I'll tell you the reason why. As of January the 1st, Veterans Administration cut me down from a $212 disability, which has been the same rate for 8 years, to $69. They did. So between the $69 for that, $301 Social Security that I get, and your $250 longevity bonus, they come to a amount of $620. Not counting my wife's, just counting mine, because we might split blankets.
Thank you, Leo, for your testimony. Is there anyone else there in Seward before I go on to another?
That's all we have today.
Thank you. Where was I?
Haynes.
Thank you very much, Haynes. I got lost there for a minute.
Big state.
I'd like to go to, let's see, Talkeetna.
Yes, I'm Maurice up at Santa Creek, close to Talkeetna. We're over at the high school at 2 hours.
Thanks very much for your testimony, sir. You were breaking up there, but we got 99% of it. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify?
Yes, I am. I'm Helen from
Thank you, Helen. Is that all in, wherever I'm at? I guess it's Talkeetna, Montana Creek, I guess, isn't it?
This is, people are from Talkeetna, Montana Creek, and we're all from in the Susitna Seniors. And I do have one more that would like to speak.
Would that be the last one in Talkeetna?
Yes, it will.
Elise, go ahead. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
So, this is Mary Carey of Talkeetna, and I would like to give my support to Bill 56 and 57, although I am already receiving longevity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The appearance is that the committee will have to make some kind of a decision regarding 56 or 57. I'm not sure we can have both of them. Please keep that one in mind.
Mary J. Cotula, I never would believe that you had gotten a longevity bonus yet. Over.
This is not a testimonial. It's the old J. Cotula now, I'm going to tell you. But thanks anyway, Talkeetna. I'm going to leave you now. So, Dotna, Marion Davis, please.
This is Marion Davis, Christina. I'll be 74 this year. Thanks for the time and effort to be putting through the longevity program, which we all know must end. The voters want a new program. Using a permanent fund, all 65-year-olds may continue with a monthly check of $250. Thanks. Meanwhile, since our longevity is from health and welfare, a cap should be in place for us over 65. Permanent dividend is given to man, woman, and child. It's hard to understand why the children's dividends aren't protected for the future. Our grandchildren were all born in a time. A monthly check at age 18 or 21 for education or whatever maturity is more widely used. And at 65, a nice income with social security or whatever. Meanwhile, I'll urge my representatives, Navarro and Squat Hammer, and Senator Paul Fisher, phasing out the longevity program so they can concentrate on other senior programs. Our Older and Active Commission has dedicated individuals on its board, but the OAS staff has no concern for senior citizens' needs or equal financial support of the center. An overhaul is fast due. We are very fortunate to be senior citizens in the United States and America, and it is sincerely appreciated.
Thank you for your testimony. I believe that's all in Kenai at the moment. Am I correct?
Yes, no more to get it.
I have one in Delta Junction. Machado, Mr. Machado.
Yes.
You have spoken already, have you not?
Yes, I have. And thank you very much for the time and for listening.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll go to Matsu. Rose Palmquist, please. Rose, how are you today?
You also are the first person to testify.
Sorry about that, Rose. Beulah, come on in.
Rose is sitting right here. You can hear from her pretty quick.
That's what I was afraid of.
Okay, I'll talk and spoil her. You won't want to hear me either, though. I think that the annuity is a good, a
you. This is Senator Rick Ewling taking over for Senator Abood, who just walked back in for a moment. We'll go on to the next testimony. Thank you for your comments. I don't think anybody on this committee wants to take that longevity bonus away from anybody down there.
Rick, this is Gene Addis, and I am not a longevity bonus recipient yet. However, I am 64 years old and will be eligible for the bonus in September of this year. I have lived in Palmer, Alaska since October 1955 until my retirement in 1982. I still live here. Basically, the views I am about to express are my own. I do realize that SB 56 and 57 are attempts to address the longevity bonus problem by developing an annuity program by using part of the individual's permanent fund to offset this. The option of the annuity program was given by the voters by an advisory referendum last November. However, the two advisory options on the ballot did not address the problem of the cost of longevity bonus program. This problem should have been faced by, I believe, the 14th legislature, but was sidetracked and passed off to the people by a referendum. The issue, as I see it, the longevity bonus program is no longer a program as intended, but rather a bonus for those 65 years old or older. The program is a drain on the general fund, and particularly now that funds are dwindling. I believe the annual fiscal outlay is close to $50 million a year, and with an increase of around 7%. If the program is to continue, there has to be a plan developed where if someone pays for itself, which is nearly impossible. The two bills, HB 56 and 57, will not significantly help relieve this financial burden for a long time. Furthermore, both bills are predicated on the permanent fund dividend continuing at least to the turn of the century. From what I have read about Governor Cooper's proposal for the longevity bonus program, this seems to be the only realistic approach so far given. I know this is an unpopular statement from those participants that are receiving the longevity bonus program, but I do believe at least it's capping the cost of the program. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Gene. Leo K.
Yes, Senator Boot, I want to thank you, first of all, and your committee for allowing us this opportunity. I'm 67, I'm much more relieved now that I heard the introductory comments by the senator, and also based on the interpretation of some of the bills. My intention for coming here today is to give support to the longevity program and its continuation under the annuity plan. I think it's important that we think of the folks ahead and not only just those of us who are presently receiving the monthly bonus. Sitting next to the gentleman on my right, I have a note written here before I even arrived that I do, first of all, object to Governor Cooper's proposed plan to cut the bonus from 250 to 200, and this would depend upon the adjusted income which is less than, adjusted income is less than $20,000. Well, when you consider that, this is just about a meager survival here in the Alaska environment, and I would hope that the annuity bills will be considered in light of the fact that most of these people have been here a long time and will continue to stay here, and that we should continue that. I also just finished reading the Anchorage Times of February the 15th, in which Glenn Killian addresses the subject, and he indicates that there's no reason why the seniors should take a cut of 15 or 20% based on the fact that the bonus is dropped from 250 to 200, when only the state employees and the teachers are being asked to take a cut of 10 or 15. I believe that if you could merge the 56 and 57, we would have a workable bill, and the state would be able to save a fair amount of money, and it would still provide a working income for our seniors in the state of Alaska. I thank you for your time.
First and foremost, I understand you're having a work session from 1:30 to 3 or 3:30 on the 18th, and if that is true, I plan to come down and be in the audience. I'll wait for an answer to that.
Well, you're stealing my whole show to begin with, Rose. I'll make that announcement later so you can hang in there and I'll let you know, okay?
Okay, thank you. I'm following up on Dick Beisner from Seward, who is the chairman of the Family Residence.
back off from the microphone about 2 inches or so.
Okay, how's that? Better?
That's much better. Go ahead.
Thank you. Board Persons Action Group will be presenting a position paper outlining in detail what those benefits are to the state from its retired population and why the legislature should be very careful before they reduce the benefits, which are small in comparison to what the seniors contribute, in order to keep that economic benefit to the state in place. I will only summarize that figure, which will be right in the area of $500 million a year that the retirement community brings into the state, not counting any of the monies that they receive from the permanent, from the general fund. If the legislature is afraid of annuity because it hitches its wagon onto the permanent fund dividend, then we in turn will say, why are you afraid of that? Is it because the legislature wants that for its means of operating the government itself? If we look at that philosophy, that you need the earnings from the permanent fund in order to operate the government, and certainly that was one of the reasons for establishing the permanent fund. However, if that is important economically to the state, then encouraging seniors to remain in Alaska is equally as important, and as we will show at this time, is twice as important. That is all I'm going to say at this time, and I will be seeing you on the 18th. Thank you.
Rose, thanks very much. We look forward to having you be in attendance. And while you're there, and while we still have people online, it's my intent to have a work session on, thanks for announcing it, Rose, on Wednesday, the 18th. A work session is where we look at the bills. No testimony will be taken. We will at that time be working the bills over and coming up with some type of conclusion. My intent is to move this bill out of my committee as quickly as possible. But we still have to work on it in order to get it in the form that, in our judgment, thinks is the best way for the state to go and for the older people. When we have completed that work session, I would like to have another teleconference as an explanation of what we have accomplished and by what methods that we arrived at these answers, so that everyone will know where we're going and where that bill will go from there and in what form it will take. Will it be 57? Will it be 56? Will it be a combination, or will it be something else? Sounds like 20 questions or let's make a deal, but that's not the program we're going to be showing. So we will have another opportunity, and you will have another opportunity to hear what the committee has done. It's too difficult to have a work session when we still have on a teleconference. So I hope that you all understand where I'm going to go with that. I am now finished with Matt Sue. I think I'll go back to Anchorage again. Anchorage, are you online?
Mr. Albert Scott is pushing the mic.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Albert Scott. And I know the legislature had a tough decision on when it comes to budget. We're going to cut the program to balance the budget. And I want to thank Senator Booth and his committee for their work on the Bill 56, which I favor. Cutting the senior longevity bonus will not help the economy, will only create a hardship on the seniors' people. We could not even get a salary job to help
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your comments. There's been a question asked regarding Pioneer benefits such as television and so on. I don't want to discuss that, or do I want to bring it up, because we're not discussing the Pioneer benefits at this particular meeting. We're discussing the longevity bonus. That will be another form of committee work when we get into why do they pay, in your question, why do they pay, or the prisoners get free TV, and the senior citizen homes, I guess, have to pay for it. I guess that was the question. So we'll be discussing that at a later date, too. We're still in Anchorage. Go ahead, please.
This is Joe Desway. I'm speaking on behalf of the Central Alaska Retired Teachers Association, located here in Anchorage. I'll keep our testimony short. Much of what we had planned to say has already been attested to. We are in firm commitment to support the longevity annuity plan, and trust your good judgment in implementing that at this very good session.
Thank you, Vera. Next, please.
Mr. Jerry McCutcheon.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Caught me by surprise. I have a question I'd like to ask on behalf of somebody else, and then I have a statement. This person has been in Alaska, came here during World War II, been here ever since, misses the current deadline by less than 60 days. Under Bill 56 and 57, is there any provision to pick up those people, or are they just lost?
Senator, I was just coming back into the room. Could you repeat that question, please?
Under Bill 56 and 57, is there any provision to pick up those people who have only missed being under the current bill, existing legislation, by about 60 days?
Yes, 56 covers them, so is 57. They don't stumble out with that very unfair stair-stepping that provides for 64-and-a-half-year-old life resident Alaskans to be out, and people that come up here at age 65, been here 6 months to come in. That's a very unfair feature. That's one of the reasons I think the people voted for the annuity program, and that is 56.
All right, thank you very much. Now my statement. Well, one of the things that they say is, why do we have to change the program? They say that because it costs too much, and there's five reasons we don't have the money. I'd like to address that point, because all state appropriations come from the same general fund, and other things compete for money from that general fund, along with the longevity bonus. So it is fair to look at other things which also compete for these funds. Today, the state is putting out $332 million for a dock and a road that goes from nowhere to nowhere for the Red Dock Mine, for which there is no obligation to construct now or ever. I have a hard time trying to understand how it is we don't have the funds for the elderly, but we can give $300 million to a foreign mining company. I just don't understand. It's so poorly collateralized that by the time the state finally comes to the end of the line, it may have lost $500 million in this project. Yet, we demand that the elderly make up the difference. Second, also competing for the longevity bonus are those funds which are due to the state and the state does not collect, but which the governor, chosen not to collect. Namely, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline rate settlement, which the state of Alaska gave up $5 billion, according to the staff of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. The state attorney general's office admits the state gave up at least $2.5 billion. Now, when you figure those out, along with triple damages which would occur on an antitrust action, we wonder what goes on. Again, the state gave away billions of dollars to an oil company, and I can't see any reason why when we're out curtailing the longevity bonus program and the care for
Rayona.
Thank you.
Senator
Kutula. First, that's the reason we're in tough straits right now. We're really screwed up.
Jerry, thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else there in Anchorage?
We have one more person, Mr. Adams.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Adams.
And
Thank you, Mr. Adams, for your testimony. We haven't been talking about any kind of taxes yet. We're still into the program of the longevity bonus, but thank you for your words on that. That concludes Anchorage. Is there anyone out on the teleconference that has not spoken that wishes to come in now, please? Kodiak, are you still there? Kodiak, do you read me?
This is the moderator in Kodiak, and yes, I do.
Do you have anyone there that wishes to testify?
No, they just wish to observe at this time.
Thank you very much, Kodiak. Dillingham, is there anyone there? Thank you. If there is anyone else on the out in the teleconference that wishes to testify at this time, please come in now. We can't hear you. Back off from the mic a little bit and try it again. Over. Well, now that you're there, go ahead. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify now? Hearing none, we will go back to, we're back down here in Juneau. I'm going to keep the lines open for listening purposes only. Is there anyone out in the audience that wishes to testify? Yes, ma'am. Do you want to come up and sit down, please? Right there. Your name and affiliation for the record, please.
I'm Nellie Terwilliger from Cook, and I would like to testify in behalf of the longevity bonus. I'd like to say that I receive it. I'm 77. My husband's 85. He received it. We're not objective. But all my life, I have supported this concept of a young working taxpayer. I think the first time that senior citizens organized was in the Great Depression, and there was a movement called the Townsend Plan, and people met and had parties and bake sales and worked, and the theory was to give everyone $250 a month. They had to spend it that month to pour it into the economy. It was very widely accepted by young people, including me. The theory was, and that was a lot of money, $250 a month then. Grandparents would help out the young people who are out of work, which they do, that it would help the economy, that it would make older people have a dignity. They're useful in the hard times. We, grandma and grandpa, have an income and they can help out. But I thought then that it was economically a very good thing, socially a very good thing, and I've always been in favor of that.
Thank you very much for bringing our attention to the Townsend Plan, Senator Catula.
I see the senator looking at me. That's what I dubbed this program, and Earl Hillstrom essentially invented it back in 1968. Called it the Tillian Townsend Plan, because Tillian was, of course, a very strong supporter, he and his wife, Diana.
Thank you, Senator. Did you have something, Senator Ewing?
Well, I just want to listen if there's any more testimony here from Juneau, but I think the comments, there is, okay, I'll hold my comments until...
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir, you want to come up to the table, please?
My name is Robert Thibodeau. I'm a longtime resident of Juneau and of Alaska. I think it's necessary at this time to identify the group that we're talking about, the older Alaskans. We're 3.4% of the population of the state. We are, I got all my figures here, we are at the time now about 19,000 strong. Those that who are participating in the longevity bonus is a little over 15,000 people. There's a gap there of about 5,000 or 4,500 people that don't participate for one reason or another. Generally, I think that it's because of the restrictions laid on the longevity, especially the resident requirements that make you remain in the state for 9 months or more, precludes a number of people who like to spend their time in Hawaii or in the States, and their income is such that $250 a month doesn't mean that much to them, and so they don't participate. Then there are others that feel it's a handout and don't participate. I know of one woman that doesn't receive the permanent fund nor the longevity bonus, a woman that's 73 years old, and it's just a matter of principle on her part. For the most part, I think that the longevity bonus has been a boon to the older Alaskans, us 3.4%. And if we look at the population figures in the future, our number, our percentage number, is not going to rise that much. I think according to